Good morning, everyone. It's really lovely to be here with you this morning, and I'm so grateful to Amanda for kind of instigating this time for our family to be together and for us to be able to share together in music and in church, and two things that have been such a big part of our family. So, and I also feel like I need to publicly concede one of the major threads of conversation Amanda and Darren and Marnie and Joe and I would have over the years was who knew more, who was better, Americans or Canadians, and I'm formally conceding. So. Yeah, it's been a long time coming. So, but anyhow, I will not be preaching about American politics. I'm sure even up here you hear more than your fill of that these days. So I apologize for that too. So. These old bones will tell your story. These old bones will never lie. These old bones will tell you surely what you can't see with your eye. These old bones I shake and rattle. These old bones I toss and roll. Well, it's all in where they scatter tells you what the future holds. You may not recognize that song, but it's actually a tune by American country music legend Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton is, I've been assured, well known here as well. And she's well known because she is a larger than life figure in many ways. Her public persona is about as non-Mennonite in some ways, at least in appearance, as you might be able to get. But there's actually a lot more than meets the eye to this American. Okay, sure. She's an incredible philanthropist, for one, which not everybody knows about her because she's not always public about it. She grew up very poor in rural Tennessee, and she still makes her primary home there and does incredible work to address poverty in Tennessee. But she's also an incredible songwriter. She's written more than 3,000 songs. And what she's most well known for are some of the hits that have hit country radio and that have been covered by artists in other genres as well. But she has maintained that mountain music vein of music as well, and occasionally will put out an album that is more mountain or bluegrass music. And this song, These Old Bones, comes from one of those albums. This song is about a mountain woman with a gift for seeing into people's lives, being able to see where they've come from, and being able to sense what's ahead for them. And as you can guess, and as the song goes on to say, that gift is not always understood, much less appreciated. The song goes on to say, some call her a witchy woman, some said she was insane. Some said she was a prophet. Still, everybody came. We like to hear stories about these kind of people, as long as they practice their gifts in a quaint mountain holler several thousand miles away. It's easy to see the tragic and the heroic reality of such a person and how their gifts are simultaneously feared and honored, and how easy it is to be dismissive of those gifts when you're the subject of them. Well, I bring this person up because Ezekiel was also kind of an interesting character in some of the same ways. Also someone whose community probably questioned his sanity from time to time. But Yahweh called him a prophet. The first chapter of Ezekiel is an elaborate vision of Ezekiel's. And you might know it from the song. I don't know if you all know this, but Ezekiel saw the wheel way up in the middle of the air. Ezekiel saw the wheel way up in the middle of the air. The little big wheel run by faith, little wheel run by the grace of God. Oh, wheel in a wheel way in the middle of the air. Do you all sing that one up here? Not so much? Okay. Yeah. I'll have to get Dolly to put it on an album, and then it'll be hit, so. But it's in this vision that Ezekiel recognized that this is where God appeared to him. This is where he saw the likeness of God in this figure appearing from wheels in wheels in the sky, and where he heard God speak to him. And this is what he heard. "Mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. And you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord,' whether they hear or refuse to hear, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. And you, O mortal, do not be afraid of them, and do not be afraid of their words, and do not be dismayed at their looks. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or refuse to hear." God was calling Ezekiel to be a prophet for him. Or perhaps God was recognized that Ezekiel was a prophet. But in either case, God called Ezekiel a prophet. Ezekiel was not appointed by the people. And this is for the kids out there. If you have ever claimed that the Bible is boring, you need to read Ezekiel. There's some pretty crazy stuff in there. So this is how God sort of seals the deal with Ezekiel as a prophet. He says, God says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel says he all the time for God, and so I'm messing up and I'm saying it too. But Ezekiel says, "Mortal, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." "I looked," says Ezekiel, "and a hand was stretched out to me, and a written scroll was in it. God spread it before me, and it had writing on the front and writing on the back. And written on it were words of lamentation and mourning and woe. And God said to me, 'O mortal, eat what is offered to you. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel.' So I opened my mouth. God gave me the scroll to eat, and I ate it. And in my mouth, it was as sweet as honey. God said to me, 'Mortal, go to the house of Israel and speak my very words to them.'" All throughout the Old Testament, God seems to make sure that there's always someone around, like Ezekiel, like the mountain woman, who can see it like it is, and someone willing to say it like it is, and someone sometimes able to paint a very graphic picture of how it's going to be if nobody changes their ways. In fact, God is a much bigger fan of prophets than kings in these stories. After all, God told the people, "Don't get a king," and they did it anyway. People insisted on kings, so God insisted on prophets. It's probably still true. Now, Ezekiel's stint as a prophet came at a time when the kingdom of Israel had fallen. For those of you who like to or Bible geeks about your prophets, Ezekiel and Jeremiah were actually prophets at the same time. But Jeremiah stayed in Jerusalem, whereas Ezekiel went with the people of Israel who were taken into captivity in Babylon. So they're speaking at the same time, but in different places. And Ezekiel's people were obsessed with their right to these historical lands that they'd been taken away from, and with this sense that God had an obligation to take them back to that land. They were obsessed with chosenness and being blessed, and all they could think about was waiting until a time when all that was rightfully theirs was returned to them. So Ezekiel's job was to remind the people that Yahweh was not some local deity who could be manipulated, that there was in fact a covenant between God and God's people, and that the people had broken that covenant. For one of the things that God said through Ezekiel was, "You, people, are worse than your sister Sodom." And Ezekiel goes on to say, the guilt of Sodom, by the way, was that she had pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease, but did not aid the poor and needy. We don't often hear that narrative, but that was the sin of Sodom. So much of Ezekiel's messages were about destruction of a system not built to support justice or faithfulness to that covenant. and much of his message was about actually welcoming destruction as needful, when what was all wrong, and the people weren't even hoping for the right thing. So is it so surprising to find Ezekiel in today's passage, in chapter 37, dreaming of dry bones and a veritable valley of death, when he has talked so much about destruction? These old bones will tell your story. These old bones will never lie. These old bones will tell you surely what you can't see with your eye. These old bones I shake and rattle. These old bones I toss and roll. And it's all in where they scatter tells you what the future holds. So what is the story of these bones, Ezekiel's bones? We're told that they aren't just bones, they're dry bones, so they've been there a while. They're not just the bones of the dearly departed, they're bones of the slain, a vast multitude. And they haven't been buried or laid to rest, they're scattered about, half submerged, half exposed. In a way, Ezekiel was transported in this vision to the very place he had prophesied about. And it was a variation of the fate that he had been saying was necessary. But it's here among the bones that Ezekiel is finally able to get to work. The deconstruction is finally done. After all, what more can be whittled away when you're down to the bone? And maybe I'm overly morbid, but this is something that I actually love about Ezekiel. And I love about this vision of the valley. I love that he finds his grounding in a valley of bones. In my years as a hospital chaplain, I found that in the presence of death, in the moments or hours or days when death is allowed to become an accepted fact, an inevitability allowed and even welcomed sometimes, there can be a tremendous shift. All superficialities and small talk, all trivialities and trappings, simply fall away. And you find yourselves, you the dying, the companions of the dying, the caregivers of the dying and the companions of the dying, you find yourselves in a land beyond time and without landmark. But you also know without a shadow of doubt what the bones are upon which to regrow life, because that's all that's left. The rest has been burned away. And as harsh, perhaps, as this God of Ezekiel may seem, this is a God who knows bones, who knows our bones. A God who calls us out of graves, calls us to confront our bones, and then asks us to prophesy to them. This is a God who does not deny or sidestep, but meets us in the very midst of death and brokenness, in the scattered remainders and leftovers of loss and failure. This is a God for whom there is no such thing as too late or too far gone. In a time when growth is idolized as always and obviously good, when it's not enough for a business to be profitable, but rather its profits must be increasing, and the rate by which they're increasing must be increasing in order to be considered successful, this narrow view of life as only ever growth not only defies the cycles of life evident in all creation, that's not health, that's cancer. Death is a part of life. Jesus' willingness to die was an amazing testimony that death is not to be feared, that death is not a failure, but that death is in fact an essential part of the cycle of life and transformation. There would be no resurrection without death. Jesus also showed us that death is not final and not the last word. It too is an essential part of the cycle of life. It is not the end of that cycle. Nothing is ever so lost that new life cannot be breathed into it in some way. And so we prophesy to our bones, and we prophesy to the breath that revives them. The poet Amos Wilder wrote in his poem, A Hard Death, these three lines: accept no mitigation, but be instructed at the null point. The zero breeds new algebra. The zero breeds new algebra. Death forces us to find new meaning, invent new variables, prove new rules. Ezekiel brings us to the valley of zero and says, let there be new math. But only in this valley of bones, only in this valley of zero, here, now, prophesy to the breath and make it so. As Psalm 23 reminds us that even though we may find fear or grief, even despair there, the valley of death is not evil. Yes, even though we may find fear, grief, or despair there, the valley of death is not evil. And we are not alone there. God is with us. And if we look around, we'll probably see that our bones are in good company. We are a vast multitude, for we will all find ourselves there at least once. So thank God for the Ezekiels and the mountain mamas who have been called there too, to help us see that we've finally come to zero, the point on the compass where all roads head north, to bear witness and to sing our bones back together once more. These old bones will tell your story. These old bones will never lie. These old bones will tell you surely what you can't see with your eye. These old bones I shake and rattle. These old bones I toss and roll. Well, it's all in where they scatter. Tells you what the future holds. Amen.